So this week we are delighted to announce the signing of Ansu Fati on loan from Barcelona. This is a signing that has delighted us, but it has confounded many. So how did one of the hottest young stars of world football land at Brighton? Well, I'm delighted to be joined by one of the most renowned experts on Spanish football to find out. Please welcome Guillem Balaguer. Thank you so much for joining us, Guillem.
This has been a
transfer which it's shocked a few, hasn't it?
It's a clever one. It's something that Ansu Fati didn't want. He wanted to stay at Barcelona. It became very clear once the season started that he was not going to get the minutes that he thinks he needs to get to the level that he was before his injury. And Xavi has preferred others very, very openly and clearly. And Barcelona have pushed him out, basically. And Ansu eventually thought, you know what, I'll go somewhere where the football is good, where it's an ambitious club with a manager that is the envy of many, where in a style that would suit him. And I think the amount of space that you get with the box to box football that you get in the Premier League is something that he will appreciate. And all that has been analysed by his entourage, and decided at the end that with all the options they had, including Spurs, for instance, Brighton was the better one.
So when he burst onto the scene, there was quite a bit of fanfare about it. So what happened to him fall down the pecking order so quickly?
He was the best goal scorer. Sorry, the youngest goal scorer in the history of Barcelona in the league. The youngest goal scorer in the history of Barcelona in the Champions League. The youngest goal scorer with the national side. He was given the number 10 when Messi left at Barcelona. And even though he wasn't of his choice, he asked the captain said, "Yeah," because he represented what Barcelona liked to do. You know, this young players that come through and then get into the first team and succeed. But he got injured, and it was an injury that had different opinions on how it had to be dealt with. I'm not sure Barcelona did very well by him at the beginning. Eventually, he managed to get it right and under control, and it's a knee injury. And now he just needs minutes. I think what you're going to find is that he will have things that he was born with, like the ability to finish. He's just got a talent, one of those things that you get born with. You don't, obviously you learn through coaching, but some talents in football, I think you're born with. He has the ability to finish. So given a team that will provide him the ball, given a team that... where he wouldn't have to show every game that he still got it, which is what happened at Barcelona. I think he tried too hard. If he finds the right balance between a team that will benefit him and him feeling more confident, then you're going to get a goal scorer.
Yeah. I mean, having watched Brighton play in the fourth division, we know players who can't find the back of the net look like very well. So to have a natural goal scorer who has that natural instinct, and I mean, basically he's got such clever feet, hasn't he? I mean, just watching his show, we're really, really excited to have him. But I mean, how has this move gone down in Spain?
I think everybody realised, and him the last one to do so, that that he had to go, that he had to move. Quite clearly, Barcelona need the money, so yeah, they were the first ones to want him to move, because it cost them nothing, and if he could be sold for 50, 60 million, brilliant, but nobody was putting that kind of money. So he has become a loan, as you know, without the option to buy him, which means that the hope of Barcelona is that he recovers his level, and then two choices: either he stays at Barcelona or he gets sold for a bigger price. I assume at the moment for Barcelona the choice will be the second one. His agent is Jorge Mendes, who is very closely linked to the president of Barcelona, Laporta. So with that in mind, the conversation, even though Laporta was saying, tell the boy that we want him to go, he was fighting it. Ansu didn't want to. But eventually, this offer came, and he's very excited. I think you could see it in his face when he does the pictures with the shares. He really is excited about this possibility, because He'll have the confidence of the coach. He won't need to work very hard in small spaces, even though I think Brighton are going to find more and more teams that are going to face them like West Ham did. He's going to be tight at defences, yes. Yeah, but at the same time, there still will be more ability to counter-attack and to attack open spaces, which is what he's good at. And if that happens, then, as I say, you're going to get a good player.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we definitely need. I mean, our ability to break down low blocks, which we're seeing more and more as people work out how we want to play. They're not trying to attack us, which, well, maybe when now we're in the Europa League, we might see a few more teams trying to do that. But yeah, like you said, West Ham came to this last week and they did what Everton did to us last season. And they had a game plan, didn't try and do anything too flash. And just hit us on the counter and actually for once took their chances. So
yeah, we're going to get more and more teams doing that.
So
obviously.
So in regards to Brighton as a whole, how are they actually seen now in Spain? Because it's been quite a journey for us, travelling up from the fourth division up to the Premier League, now the Europa League. You know, we've had, actually with this transfer, there's been some very similar comparisons to when Vicente came to Brighton. But I mean, are Brighton seen as an up and coming club as they are in Spain, as they are here?
In Spain, it's been followed relatively closely. The Premier League in Spain is followed by a big minority, but still is a minority. In that group, quite clearly, the links to Spanish football have been loads throughout the years. And that has meant that Brighton has become one of those clubs that people follow. But there is more talk, say, about the manager, the Zerbi, than there is of Brighton, if you like. I know the admiration that the Zerbi it's followed us in Spain, but also with a lot of Premier League managers. I've spoken to half a dozen of them that they just in awe of what he does. I know Pep Guardiola has picked stuff that the Zerbi has been doing. I know that when the Zerbi finished with Shakhtar Donetsk, he went and stayed at the city for a week, and people tell me that when the Zerbi and Pep met, it was like constant talk to such a level of detail that people would just abandon them, leave them on their own. Because it will become almost like a different language. Two passionate men about football. And I think in the Zerbi, one that is taking what Pep Guardiola has shown us, is trying to take it to another level, which is amazing. And as I say, the likes of Unai Emery or Lopetegui or Steve Cooper, these are managers that look at the Zerbi and what he's doing in awe. So, yeah, that's the impression that we all have of Brighton, a club, a progressive club, that are doing things in the right way, in many ways, market wise, style wise, and in the hardest of leagues.
So basically, what you're saying is we're very lucky to have Roberto De Zerbi as our manager and hang on to him for as long as we possibly can, right?
It's one of his choice, and as you know, I imagine you know, he was wanted by Spurs. He said no because he wanted to stay another year at Brighton. But this will be a very tough year, as you said earlier, because teams now are going to just basically what they do to City, defend very low. Why does City beat them? Because they've got so much quality up front. How do they get the quality? Because they pay 60, 70 million for the forwards. Yeah. You don't have that ability. So you're going to have to be clever in how you beat that. But you've got a brain in there on the bench that will, I'm sure, find solutions. I am to go at least two or three times this season to see you and hopefully to meet with the Zerbi. I was there when he said goodbye in Split in Croatia. He said goodbye to the Shakhtar Donetsk team that day. It was a lot of tears. We were filming for a documentary for CBS. Had a long chat with him. And since then, I followed him very, very closely. And my aim is to come and see you two or three times and enjoy what he's doing with what he's got.
Well, of course, you're very welcome to come see us as well, Graham, because it's a very welcoming city, and we have lots of wonderful places which we could take you. But thank you so much for joining us, and enjoy the rest of the day. I know you've got lots of other things going on. I can't think with heads of Spanish federations and certain players signing for Getafe. It makes it. I think you're going to have a very busy day. I think.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And thank you very much, Guillaume Balague. So that was, of course, the brilliant Guillaume Balague. And thank you so much, Guillaume, for joining us. Don't forget, you can listen to our regular show featuring Ian Hart and Mark Brailsford over on Audio Boom and all the, your usual pod outlets. And also myself and Alan will be appearing at the Hope and Ruin as part of Radio Reverb's Reverbathon on the 17th of September. It would be lovely to see as many of you come along as possible. And we're going to hopefully have a lot of fun and raise a lot of money for Radio Reverb. And so that's it. I've been Eddie Packham, and we'll see you all again soon. Thanks for listening. Bye.